So today we'll be wrapping up our series for Made for More Than This, and I entitled today's message, Made for More Than Earthly Praise. I want to look at one quick verse as kind of like an intro, and then talk about ways it could apply to us. So John 12, 42 to 43 says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him," that's Jesus, "but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue." Verse 43, "For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." And that's not just a biblical issue, right? We can still struggle with that today. I know I can still struggle with that today. I didn't really think I struggled much with this until I started looking at this list. And I got this from a website called Psychology Today. But here are 10 signs that you may be trying too hard to please everyone. So I want to just look at this together. It'll be up on the screen. Here's some things that maybe, and you can just kind of do a heart check. You pretend to agree with everyone. You feel responsible for how other people feel. You apologize often. You feel burdened by the things you have to do. You can't say no. It's always yes, yes, yes. You feel uncomfortable if someone is angry at you. You act like the people around you. You need praise to feel good. You go to great lengths to avoid conflict. You don't admit when your feelings are hurt. Did anyone score a 10 out of 10? I was reading this over. I was like, yeah, people are like, Lord, I felt like you let me hear. But I'm like, eh. I'd read that list. I was like, ooh, there's some growth areas for Jim, right? There's some things here. I'm sure maybe you can relate to some. Or maybe you scored a 10 out of 10. Wherever you're at, we're all growing, right? It's all a process. Our vision here is growing together towards maturity in Christ. So it's great to realize where we are, but also the invitation where Jesus is inviting us into the more, specifically with wanting to receive praise from our Heavenly Father more than from other people on this planet. So today we're going to be looking quickly at three people, Jesus, Mary, and Judas, as found in John 12, verses 1 to 8. So if you want to turn there in your Bible or turn on your Bible or just watch on the screen, you'll see the verses up here. But this is John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have, but you do not always have me." Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you how it just corrects us, encouraging us to look more like you. And God, I pray that you speak to us today. Holy Spirit, have your way here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to look at a couple things in this passage. First, we're going to start with Jesus. So Jesus, Mary, and Judas. And first, I want to look at Jesus from a broader extent. So this will be a big topical. And then we'll look at Mary and Judas in the passage. So Jesus had the heartbeat to only do what he saw his Heavenly Father doing in heaven. He didn't live for the praise of men at all. A couple verses that relate to this in John 5:19 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, then the Son does likewise.'" That list we just looked at over, one of the people-pleasing tendencies is just to mimic people around you, which can be really good, right? If you're around people that are mimicking Jesus, Apostle Paul's like, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Like, okay. But if our primary source of influence is just whoever's around us, then we're not letting God have any influence, right, into our heart, into our mind, into the way he's leading us. We're more concerned about what this other lady thinks or this other guy thinks more than what our Heavenly Father thinks. And the way that Jesus operates, he would only do what he saw the Heavenly Father doing. He would only say what the Heavenly Father told him to say. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Once again, Jesus' priority was not accomplishing other people's goals or even his personal goals outside if they didn't line up with the Father's will. And John 8:28 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me.'" Talk about that laser focus. I mean, Jesus is fully God, fully man, but you just get to see how he's just lasered in on what God wants him to do. He would not think to operate on his own mind, his own attention, or anything if he didn't spend time with the Father. In Jesus, we have lots of examples of him pulling away to spend time with the Father. Because it's one thing to be like, "Lord, I want to do your will." I'm sure a lot of you, if you're here this morning or watching online, you're probably thinking that. I want to do your will, God, right? Or I want to say the things that you want me to say. Or I want to do the things you want me to do. Or maybe, "Lord, I'm not going to say the things I shouldn't be saying or do the things I shouldn't be doing." But if we don't spend any time with the Father, then how can we know what the Father's will is, right? Each day as we start the day, if we don't spend any time with God, then it's very, I think, prideful of us to say, "Lord, I'm going to do your kingdom come, your will be done on my own agenda and in my own way." Jesus would never do that. Jesus would always be like, "Lord, what does your kingdom come look like? What does your will be done?" He would look into heaven, spend time in prayer, and then he would bring it down to earth. He didn't operate as an independent kind of check-in with the Heavenly Father. You know, maybe a little bit here on Sunday, or maybe, if you're in like a prayer group or something. No, he checked in throughout the day, every day, in order to be able to be doing part of what God wanted him to do and avoiding the snares and the traps of what other people think as a priority for what he was going to do. So we look at Jesus, and he's obviously the prime example. When we're in the Made for More than this series, obviously Jesus, he was never made for more. He always existed, right? Jesus always is, and he always is more. He's perfect in every way. Unlike us, we're sinful, we're broken, we're flawed, we're created. Jesus always existed, and he's beautiful and perfected. And yet Jesus would come to die for us, those who are broken, those who desperately need God. That's the posture of the Son, but also the posture towards the Heavenly Father. So I want to mention Jesus, because Jesus is in this story we're seeing from John 12. But I want to look at Mary and Judas. So Mary, as we see in this context, she's the sister of Martha and Lazarus. You might remember Lazarus, he was the one who died, and then Jesus brought back to life. So pretty awesome. I love how just the text reads, right? He's just reclining with at the table. They're having dinner together. I mean, that's got to be a pretty awesome dinner. It's like he was dead not that long ago. Jesus had brought him back from the dead, and here they are just having a meal together. Martha's still serving. You might notice she has that kind of, she just keeps serving, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Once again, this isn't the first time. But let's look at Mary. So Mary does something that is incredibly extravagant and socially completely like breaking norms and probably uncomfortable for a lot of people in the room. She anoints Jesus' head with a very expensive ointment or perfume. And this perfume, as we're seeing and we're learning from here, was worth a lot of money. It says specifically 300 denarii, which is pretty much a year's wage if you take all the festivals and all those kind of fun things in there. So it's like a year's wage, which, I mean, that's a lot of money for an ointment. I mean, I was trying to find out some calculations on what minimum wage would give you for a year. This is only at $11.50 an hour, but that's essentially like, nowadays, it would be at least, if not more, than $24,544 if you're looking at like what the minimum day's wage would be if that was contextualized today. So this is like an extravagant, over-the-top expression. So much so that one of the disciples we're seeing, Judas, he responds to that like, "Whoa, like this is crazy, right?" But Mary's doing her own thing. Her heart is after Jesus. We see in another chapter earlier that she would actually spend time at the feet of Jesus, just listening and learning from him. Her heart is after Jesus. Now the thing is, externally what she's doing is overly extravagant, but it's also done in a way that wouldn't be even socially acceptable or would have raised a lot of eyebrows. The idea that she's unbraiding her hair, she's washing the feet of Jesus with her hair, with the ointment. And yet, Jesus doesn't condemn her. Jesus doesn't put her to the side. Jesus sees her heart intention. I really like, Karen, what you just mentioned. Karen's right over here, so I'm looking at her. What you just mentioned in the children's message, right? The Lord looks at the heart, and God sees that, sees the heart of Mary. And yet, externally, she's not operating on, what are other people going to think? What are other people going to say? She's doing something incredibly extravagant and also breaking a lot of social kind of norms all at the same time. But Jesus says, like, even though Mary doesn't realize it, Mary is essentially like anointing Jesus before his death. Like it's like a prophetic move that Mary's moving in. And Jesus sees that and he does not discourage that. Now, if we're living for other people's praises, we're not going to do things that maybe are outside the norm, right? We got to stay within the confines or the construct, or I just got to fit in, I got to blend in. If there's a Judas nearby saying something that sounds really good, I'm just going to shut down. Mary doesn't do that. She has a heart after the Lord, and the Lord sees her heart, even though it might have been different in that culture setting. Now, let's look at Judas. It's very interesting to compare Mary and Judas, because here's Judas. He's one of the 12 disciples, one of the apostles, one of the learners following along with Jesus. And he has what would look like, from the passage, a pretty good response, right? He has a pretty correct response, because here's this overly extravagant, like, you know, year's wage, 24,000 plus whatever gift that's just being used right now. And it's like, we could just give that to the poor. And that sounds really good. Actually sounds really good. It's like, actually, that's not a bad idea. Mary could cash that in and give half of it to the poor, give 12 grand or something, help out with, like, you know, helping hands or something. Like, that'd be a great use of the money. But we see in here, as John is writing this gospel, that Judas' heart is far from God, right? He's saying, oh no, I'm worried about the money, I'm worried about the poor, couldn't we give that? But we learn that even in Jesus' ministry, he had a treasurer that was incredibly lacking integrity, right? He would steal from the gifts and the offering, and so he was really wanting, you know, that 24,000 or plus, so he could just take a little money for himself. He said the right thing externally, which would have pleased anyone that was listening, and be like, oh, but it didn't please Jesus, because Jesus does not look on the outside. He looks at the heart, and his heart was far from Jesus. I heard it once said, you can be close to Jesus, but not close to Jesus. Judas was proximity, very close to Jesus. He did all the right religious things. He went to the right Bible studies, the prayer groups. He went to the right synagogue gatherings. But yet, his heart was far from Jesus. If our heart is not after Jesus, we can get into this whole idea of doing religiosity, like motion, like going through the motions, one thing after another, right? Maybe it's joining us in church online or even joining us in person or a prayer meeting. But that doesn't necessarily mean our heart is there. We might just be going through to receive praise from other people. I know when I was at Bible school, when we get together for group prayers, I got really nervous. In the Bible, you can just talk to God. It makes it really clear. It's just like having a conversation. But I don't know, when you're around like all these young people that want to like go save the world for Jesus, you know, I was getting kind of insecure. When I do like public prayer, I was like, oh man, am I getting the words right? I know I've talked to other people, they feel this way. They're like, I don't want to pray in a small group or whatever, because what are other people going to say, right? What are other people that I say, like, you know, Father about 35 times in 5 seconds, you know, those kind of prayers, you know, I've done those before. You don't get a lot of content in, but you do mention our Father's name quite a bit, you know, so like, do you use like big theological words in it? Do you do this? And then after a while, I realized, wow, Lord, just make it clear. I'm just looking for your heart, Jim. I'm just looking to have a conversation with you. You could just say, you know, having a rough day, just even mercy. That's all I got to say. Lord, I need your mercy. I don't have any other words to describe what's going on in my life right now. And maybe today, as you're in church online or watching the recording or in person, you're going through a difficult time, and God knows your heart, and you can just come to him like a child, like a son or a daughter. We don't have to put on all this verbiage, all this kind of impressing words. The Pharisees actually operated off of that often. Not all of them, but a lot of them would often operate in a way that they would pray big. They would pray big and bold in public places, not so God would receive praise, but that they would receive praise. Look at my prayer style. I'm so good. Or if I'm giving to the poor, I hope other people notice what I'm giving, right? I happen to drop, you know, how much I gave to a local charity. They're like, no. Our Heavenly Father made it very clear. If you're giving, make that a secret between you and God. You'll be rewarded in heaven. Don't just seek after earthly praise. And when you pray, go into a quiet place like a prayer room or someplace you can go. Just talk to your Heavenly Father. It doesn't need to be done in a way that's looking for the affirmation from people, but looking for the affirmation from our Heavenly Father. So as we're going through this, and hopefully, I know this is a very challenging message for myself, and I'm sure for those who are watching and here in person, the idea of just listening, am I really operating in a way that I just want to hear my Heavenly Father's voice speaking into me? Even if other people are saying things around me that sound really good and I can go with the flow, God, might you want me to be stepping out into the more, like we've seen in this series with Esther stepping out into the more. If Esther decided to be people-pleasing, she would never have stepped out, ever, to try to save the Jewish people, right? Never, no, right? Or you can look at people like Gideon in the Bible, who just looked at himself so poorly, and everyone around him was like, yeah, you know, the whole group where he was from and everything, just like, now these people are just like, you just come in, we'd raid them, we'd leave. If he's looking for information on who he is from his enemies, or even sometimes friends can get it wrong, we're not going to step out, right? We're not going to step into the more that God's inviting us to. But boy, when we get away with our Heavenly Father, when we just spend some time with him, just hear the voice of God, just get to feel the love of God, the presence, and we download his messages and let that hit our heart, we can move out, even if people agree with us or don't, realizing that, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm serving my Heavenly Father. If Jesus was going to come back today, or if I was to go home today to him, man, I hope he's just being like, well done, good and faithful servant. You listened to my voice and you applied it. No amount of accolades from other people on this planet are going to last. The only thing that lasts is what our Heavenly Father whispers to us through his Holy Spirit. Are we living for the praise of people or from the affirmation from our Heavenly Father? I read a quote this week, which I really like. It's from a Christian rap R&B artist named Lecrae. And he has this quote. I like it. It says, if you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection. Isn't that so true? If you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection. Right? I think we've all probably done this before. You're trying to get that one person, affirm, then they reject you. It's like, ah! It's like to the soul. And then it's a highlight moment. Oh, man, my acceptance is in Christ. I've been adopted into his family. The world can reject me, but yet I can have not an identity crisis. I can know who I am. Jesus made it clear to his followers throughout the Gospels that if you're going to follow after me, the world hated him, they're going to hate you. There will be difficulties. There will be persecution. There will be rejection. Not everyone's going to be excited about the gospel message. But if they persecuted you, they will persecute him. They'll persecute those who follow after him, which means rejection for following Christ doesn't need to be a point that stops us from knowing our Father's love. Our Father's love helps us to walk through those moments. And maybe you've experienced that with families that don't follow after Christ and you felt that rejection and then it hits and it hurts and maybe you're in tears or sorrow. You spend time in prayer. Heavenly Father whispers to you. You get that encouragement, right? Or maybe a coworker, they're just seeing you at a different place or whatever. And you're just like, that was really hurtful what that person said. That was really hurtful what that person did. But if you look at Jesus' life, he had a lot of that too, right? A lot of people oftentimes trying to kill him, setting up, trap him, beat him up, tortured, crucified, and he did absolutely nothing wrong. He just listened to the Father's heart and applied it. I remember there's a phrase that's often used that the safest place is to be in the will of God. If we're defining safest from a human standard, it's actually not true. Probably the most sometimes dangerous place you can be is the will of God, but it is the best place. Because if you look at Jesus did the will of God, right? I think we all could agree on that for those who are here. Jesus did the will of God, but from a human level, I would not say that was the safest route he could have gone. Man, I'd be like, go some other way besides the cross. Even the devil invited him to do that. But when that invitation came from the devil himself, he responded again and again by knowing the Old Testament, knowing the Word of God, going into Deuteronomy. It's like, no. It's like, you're saying this, but the Word of God says this. I think that's what we're called to in this season, as men and women and young and old. Would we be grounded in the Word of God? When temptations come, whether it's from friends, family, coworkers, people we meet, or maybe the devil himself inviting us to settle for less than what God has for us, let us go back to the Word and instead of inviting the enemy's word into our heart, replying with God's word from our heart, saying, no, this is actually what the Word of God says. This is actually what I'm standing on. I believe as a church body, we're being called into the more in this season. We're allowed, and I think God's enabling us to want to step up to be just even a greater way of just loving others and showing God's love to not just people in our church body, but in our community all over the place. But as we do that, we become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And when we get into that place, there's going to be spiritual warfare. A battle is not against physical things, but against spiritual warfare. So if we're doing nothing for the kingdom of God, let me just tell you, you're not a threat to nobody. Like the enemy is probably thinking like, I'm just going to let you do you because you're on a self-destructive pattern all by yourself. But when we start to say, you know what? I'm really going to invest in the prayer. I'm going to go into spiritual warfare. I'm going to actually get back into reading the Bible again, not just hearing other people read the Bible, but actually myself asking the Lord to speak to me. you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That means there will be opposition, there will be struggle, there can be persecution down the road, but realizing, man, if that's what Jesus went through to do the Father's will, why would I stop at anything less, right? Why would I stop? If that's what Jesus did, going through one thing to another thing, he just wanted to know his Heavenly Father's voice of affirmation. He struggled too. Remember before he was about to get killed and crucified? He asked the Lord, if you can take this cup from me, this idea of going to the cross, if you can take it from me, please, Father, take it away. And so you see that realization that sometimes there's hard things, excuse me, the Lord invites us to, right? There's hard things that God's invited us to step out to, like that Esther moment, stepping out. That's a dangerous moment. If God didn't provide, she would have been dead. But God did provide. And in Jesus' case, he did exactly what God wanted him to do, and he still ended up dead. But God raised them from the grave. That's the kind of God we serve. Lord, would I be part of your plan and part of your purposes? Even if it doesn't make sense in the moment, God, I'm still trusting you. Lord, you want me to extravagantly give away to the poor something I have? Doesn't make any sense. Lord, if it's of you, I want to be part of that. God, you want me to love generously someone in town that I don't know, that maybe is on the outskirts, you know, one of the sinners that maybe are labeled by religious people that Jesus would hang out with? Lord, I'm going to hang out with that person. I'm gonna love on this person. I'm gonna step out and care. I want to embrace them more. If your walk with the Lord seems really boring, it's probably because you and I are probably not engaging in faith every week. Just to be honest. If it seems like, wow, this thing is just like you just do duty and do that. Man, when you engage with the Heavenly Father's will every day, Lord, what do you want me to do today? It's exciting. It's not easy. It's usually really hard. It requires less of us and more of Jesus. But that's a great prayer. John the Baptist said, would Jesus become more and would he become less? Would he increase and I decrease? That's a great place to be when we realize our desperation for the Holy Spirit working through us, but that we're so committed and consumed by the will of God and making disciples of all nations. Anything else just doesn't satisfy. Anything else just doesn't fill the void in our heart. Any other purpose that's less than that, just like, I wouldn't want to settle for that. Jesus didn't settle for that. Jesus went for something even greater. Because he saw the reward on the other side. He saw that men and women all around this globe who God created, he created, that they could be redeemed through following the Father's will. And as we look at Scripture over and over, we are ambassadors of Christ. We have the authority and we have the commission by Jesus himself to go and make disciples of all nations, and we can step into that together. I want to just look at a couple reflection questions as I'll be wrapping up in just a couple minutes. I'll invite up the musicians at this time just so they're ready. But so here's some reflection questions. So are you living for the praise of God or of other people? The first one, that's kind of been the focus. Galatians 1:10 said, Paul said this to the church at Galatia, does this sound as if I'm trying to win human approval? No, indeed. What I want is God's approval. Am I trying to be popular with people? If I were still trying to do so, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's Galatians 1:10. Are you living for the praise of God or for other people? Number two is your heart fully devoted to Christ? 2:4 says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of the heart. And in a moment, we're actually going to have a time to pause and invite the Lord. God, what's going on in my heart? I know for me, even this past week, I was like, man, I feel like I'm doing pretty good at this. And I looked at this list of 10. I felt like, no, Lord, I think there's some people-pleasing tendencies that I need to work out, Lord, with you. I need to ask for forgiveness, and I need to repent, and I need to move forward. I think all of us probably have areas in our life we need to do that. So we're going to do that in a moment as I invite the Lord to work in our heart. He alone examines the motives of our heart, which is pretty encouraging. Which means that you and I cannot understand even the motives of our own heart. I think we all agree with that. But we also can't understand the motives of other people's hearts. You ever start judging other people's hearts? So easy. I know why they're saying this, and let me tell you why. But you never had a conversation with them? And then you realize when you talk to them, I was so far off. Forgive me. I judge the motives of someone else's heart, and I don't even know the motives of my own heart. How foolish is that? Lord, forgive me. Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord, not people. God's not looking for a half-hearted man and woman. He's looking for wholehearted serving the Lord. Everything, devotion, the heart, the mind, the soul, the strength, everything going for Jesus. Nothing less. Third thing I want to ask, What is the more that God is inviting you into this upcoming week? This is a question that you don't want to just ask today, but you really want to ask every single day. Lord, what is the more you have for me? Whatever that looks like. If you're waking up and you drop to your knees in prayer, or you go somewhere in a prayer closet, you just pray at the table with a cup of coffee, I don't know. There's a lot of freedom. But asking God somewhere in the day, Lord, what do you have today? Even talk to him. These are my plans for the whole day. And then pause. What are your plans for me for today? Maybe they line up. Maybe I need to make some adjustments. Maybe there's something new and I never even thought of. Maybe the Lord's like, you need to call this person who's been isolated for a while and is incredibly lonely, but you don't know that. But I'm inviting you to call that person right now, today. That's just an example. Ask the Lord. He'll show you what he has for you. John 5:19 says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. It's impossible to know the will of God and the will of the Father if we're not spending time with the Father to ask each and every day. So we're going to take a moment to pray, just to slow down and pause. For those who are watching this live or the recording, I encourage you, wherever you are, just take a moment to pause. And those who are here, we're just going to invite the Lord to examine our hearts. Is our hearts truly after the attention of our Heavenly Father, or have we settled for less the attention of someone else or other people? So we're going to take a moment to pray, and then we'll have a time of just response with music and with worship. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a good dad. We were celebrating that last week a lot, but you're a good dad today. And Lord, you look at our hearts not to condemn us. You do convict us, but it's because you want to bring healing. You want to bring wholeness to our hearts, Lord. And God, as we pause just for a couple seconds to slow down with you, Lord, could we have an open, honest conversation with you taking the lead to show us if there's anything in our hearts that is not aligned with you? So let's just take a moment to be silent before God. So everyone's still in a place of prayer, and those watching online, you keep your heads bowed or eyes closed. I just want to finish with a prayer, praying for those. If you're here and you just want knowledge, and I just love to pray for you, I'm struggling with some people-pleasing things, but I want the Lord to be the one person I'm trying to please. Can you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. My hand's up. I might as well just put two hands up, right? Anyone here that's just like, I need that. And if you're at home right now watching, you can put your hands in front of your TV, mobile device, whatever you're doing, even on the recording. Have a moment with the Lord. I just want to pray right now. God, you see my hands up. Lord, you see our hands up. Those in the building, those online right now watching the recording. Heavenly Father, forgive us. God, wash us, cleanse us to look more like you, Lord. Help us, God, to not settle for any less joy than the joy of knowing you and bringing your kingdom here and now on this planet. In Jesus' name, amen.